Coming up on KUCB News, a call-in show about Unalaska's air service. Tell us how you've been affected since the October plane crash. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon, Unalaska. You are tuned in to KUCB 89.7 FM. I am Laura Craigle in the studio live with my fellow reporter, Hope McKenney. Hey, Hope.
Hello.
And we're taking a break from our standard noon newscast today. We often have, you know, our block of news stories at this time, but we wanted to take a special show today and have it be a little more freeform, be a little bit more conversational, to discuss the aftermath of the plane crash on October 17th, which has been obviously very big news in our community for quite some time now and has had, as far as we can tell, a lot of wide-ranging impacts. And there's been places to discuss what's happened, how people have been affected. There's been city council meetings. There's been, you know, news stories that we've been working on. There's been a lot of activity on Facebook and other social media, a lot of places to sort of be reacting, be talking through these issues. But it's a very complicated situation. It seems like there's a lot of facets that we're seeing. And so we wanted to kind of have this opportunity to be one more place, one more kind of space where we can have some discussion. And if you're listening to KUCB regularly, or if you're catching some of our other special programs, things like the Candidates Forum, you know, we often have guests, a little bit more of a structured discussion, kind of a clear start and finish. This is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit more open. We don't have a lot of answers necessarily, or a lot of structure that we can lend to this discussion. And so what we're hoping this can be for is to hear your questions, to hear your concerns, to hear your experiences, and kind of open the floor up to you on Alaska and to see what you've been feeling, how you've been affected, how your family's been affected already, perhaps how you're expecting to be affected in the future, what you're anticipating, what perhaps you're uncertain about. There's a lot to this. And so we want to kind of just throw it to you and see if we can hear what's on your mind in the aftermath of this very, very big event, this plane crash. And the reason we're sort of doing this is to collect some of those thoughts, selfishly almost for us as KUCB. This is a wide-ranging issue, and as we're reporting on it, there's a lot of angles, a lot of things to tackle, a lot of directions that we can start to work. And it would be great, kind of as we continue to report on this issue, to know what is most important to the community. What are your priorities? What are your big questions right now, and what do you think you're going to be most curious about later? And then also, we're going to have a lot of meetings, I think, coming up about this. The Unalaska Visitors Bureau is going to be hosting a meeting later this week. We're expecting in-person meetings with the airlines here in Unalaska sometime this month. And so we are going to be kind of talking about this for a long time. And so maybe this can also be a space where we can start to articulate some of our thoughts, you know, what's on your mind now, and then we can kind of continue to develop those ideas as the meetings progress. So with that in mind, we're going to be taking phone calls at 581-2161, taking emails, info@kucb.org. That's info@kucb.org. And we also have a post on our Facebook page where you can leave comments, and we'll be monitoring those as well. So please contribute. Please tell us what you're thinking about, your questions and concerns. And it looks like we already have our first caller. So Hope, let's see if we can bring them up through the board and hear what they have to say.
All right. Hi.
Hello there. You're live on KUCB.
Hi. This is Lauren Snyder. I'm over at the museum.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. I just wanted to mention about local access flights and my disappointment with that really welcome loophole that we have when flying out here, especially during the busy season. And that's something that I haven't heard from Raven or Alaska about when that's going to come back or if it's going to.
And I think a lot of people in the community are familiar with what you're talking about, these local access seats. But can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, how you use this, what it means for you, and kind of help to elaborate that in case anybody's not familiar?
Sure. I have thankfully not actually had to use it, but it's been a nice backup should flights be canceled or, flying in December. But it's a program that Alaska Airlines does, I guess, but obviously through Raven and Penn Air, where you can purchase a full ticket price flight and be guaranteed a seat on a flight that would be previously booked or possibly guaranteed a seat. So, for instance, flights in January where people have been booking up months and months in advance, they'll reserve a few seats for locals to get in and out who haven't planned those vacations ahead, like myself. There were a nice little loophole in a way to make sure that locals were able to get in and out of town and that it wasn't just limited to industry flying.
And so I definitely can understand that a lot of people, especially like you said, during the very busy winter fishing season, when we have a lot of movement with the fishermen, the processors, a lot of industry folks bringing in their workforce, that can be a real important kind of asset, like you said, to know that there might be an option even when there is this really high traffic. And it sounds like I'm looking at a press release actually from Raven, and they do mention that their new schedule includes seats reserved on each flight for local Unalaska residents, and they're calling it their Home for the Holiday program.
Oh, that's funny, because that's exactly what Alaska called it.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, that's good that they're still honoring that. What they had previously been telling us is that we would have to call back, 2 weeks in advance before you can book a ticket with the local access program. And now that they've got flights in January, that's not necessarily a problem for me in particular, but I can see it becoming a problem for people who need to get in and out in January as those segments fill up pretty quickly.
They do. And you know, like you said, everyone's going to be kind of navigating their own, or a lot of people at least will be navigating their own holiday travel, winter travel. Can you tell us more about kind of what your plans are, or do you have certain plans? Do you have the information that you need from the airlines? Can you tell us kind of about what your experience has been?
Sure. So currently I'm going to be flying back with Raven from Anchorage, but previously, before they released flights, I was going through St. Paul and was able to purchase a ticket on that leg using mileage, which was very convenient. Instead of having to buy the 560 is the non-refundable flight amount with Raven. But I was going through St. Paul and then going to be flying in with Grant. And thankfully, I know people in St. Paul that I could stay with should I get stuck. But it kind of seemed like the only option.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you have a path forward. Yes, that kind of uncertainty, and we're hearing from a lot of folks that, hedging bets and making backup plans is kind of important to people too right now.
Absolutely.
Well, we really appreciate your call, Lauren, and for kind of getting our discussion up and running. Is there anything else that you would want to speak to right now about air service or any questions, especially that maybe you have going forward? At KUCB, we're trying to collect kind of when we hope to get an interview with folks from the airlines. We have a lot of questions we want to ask them. And if there's anything that you have that we can add to our list, we'd love to hear it.
I mean, I think you're going to hear this a lot today, but just the mileage program is so integral to flying in and out of this place and being able to afford to fly in and out of this place. So that's something that I don't think we'd like to see them have mileage come back, but it's when are they going to institute some kind of specialty mileage program for here, or is Alaska Airlines going to return once people have more training, I guess. It's all just one big question mark, and we're not flight experts in this town, even though we know a lot about flying, so it's going to be nice to hear from them.
Well, we really appreciate your joining our discussion. And if you have anything further to add, definitely call back or hit us up on Facebook or email. Thank you, Lauren.
Okay. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you so much to Lauren Snyder there for being our first caller of the show. We're looking again to kind of have just an open discussion, an open kind of platform for you on Alaska to share how you've been affected since the plane crash on October 17th, how your work travel perhaps has been affected, perhaps medical travel. I know people's vacations were affected. People had family separations for a while. All of these things were kind of happening, and it was a very busy time. And I think at KUCB we were hearing a lot, but I know there was probably a lot we missed. So if there were impacts to you and your family during that month-long flight suspension, we would love to hear about those. May have been something like financial, may have been perhaps an emotional or stress-related kind of impact, may have thrown off a business and your ability to get workers or product or something to that effect. It sounds like this is pretty wide-reaching, so we'd love to hear to some of those things. Hope, I'm seeing that maybe you have something to add from a commenter.
We do. We have a few different comments on our Facebook page. And once again, you can comment on our Facebook page. You can comment through email at info@kucb.org, or you can call in. We would love to hear from you. We have a comment from Lisa who said, but a round-trip ticket to Sitka, Alaska is $1,850. That's without any surprise fees, not going home for Christmas. I think we're seeing a lot of this in the community of people's travel plans just getting disrupted. So please let us know. Have you made alternative plans? Are you not able to go where you're trying to go for the holidays? What is happening in the community right now?
Yes, and I think Lauren in her comments kind of mentioned a little bit about how as a result of this kind of uncertainty with Raven Air Group and Alaska Airlines' partnership, and Alaska Airlines transferring the existing reservations over to Raven, that this mileage program that we all, I think, sort of rely on, or, you know, we bank those miles and we use them for this expensive leg to get to Anchorage a lot of times, that's gone, at least for now. We don't know when and if it will come back. And so this pricing becomes especially notable, even though price is always an issue. It's different now that we can't use those miles, is the impression I'm getting from folks. And I don't know if anybody in the community prior to the accident or since then even has had a Raven account, a Raven Rewards program account, and has any familiarity with kind of how it works and maybe how it stacks up to Alaska Airlines. That would be a really interesting perspective to hear if anybody is familiar with their program and can speak to the comparison of value. That would be really fascinating. So feel free to call in again, 581-2161. But I think, like Lauren was saying, the prices we're seeing, I did a little research today on their website. Everything I'm seeing again is between that $560 for a non-refundable ticket or in the $670 realm for a refundable ticket to and from Anchorage. And so for somebody, yeah, trying to get to Sitka, that would add up pretty quickly. What else are we hearing online, Hope?
We also have a comment from Anne that says, I hope they aren't price gouging. And I think that is a concern in the community right now. And we have not heard back from the airlines. We haven't been able to interview them yet. But I think that is a big concern.
And perhaps I can speak to that maybe for a minute or two, especially while we hope some more comments, questions, concerns, or experiences kind of roll in. We're kind of hoping to have this for you guys, so please let us know what's on your mind. But while we kind of wait for that, I did want to point out or share that from KUCB's perspective, we have not been able to speak with the airlines directly in an on-taped interview. Today, for instance, Raven Air Group and Alaska Airlines were both invited to participate in today's show. We would have loved to have them on and maybe take some questions from community members and from the radio station. Both airlines said that nobody was available to join. And as far as we know right now, neither airline has granted any on-tape interviews, any kind of on-the-record interviews with any outlets about the accident. And they have made some statements at City Council. But we are still working towards having more of a robust interview for everyone. And by my count, I was looking through my email and voicemail requests that I'm tracking, and KUCB has made about 7 formal requests to both airlines asking for an on-tape, on-the-record interview. We've had many other kind of informal check-in requests and requests for kind of information. There's been a lot of back and forth. But we did want to share that kind of from our newsroom to the community as we're following this issue, that we have been kind of making a pretty strong effort to try to get the airline representatives on the phone. We've been doing one big formal request sort of per week at this point as it kind of shakes out, trying to check in. And we've had those either declined or not responded to, but that we are going to keep asking, and we will keep asking. And we have hopes that perhaps when the in-person meeting that City Manager Aaron Reinders has told us that the airlines have agreed to do in the community, that they'll have reps in town to hold a community meeting, that perhaps we'll have some better luck then. But we did want to put that to you and let you know that we are doing as much as we can. And we hope that when we do have the chance that we'll be able to address a lot of questions and take ones from you, kind of the things that are on your mind, into those conversations. And so if you can help us reform our questions, we'll be really happy for your input.
And it looks like we have some more comments coming in. One from Jennifer on Facebook. She says, "Myself personally, me and my two kids were supposed to have moved to Dutch Harbor a month ago. My plan was to pay around $450 for Alaska Air Miles, like I have always used in the past. Now I have to purchase tickets at full price, as I have never flown on Raven before to have any points or whatever it is they offer. I personally cannot afford $1,800 for three tickets, so I am in Anchorage still, wondering when and how I will come up with money for three tickets. My whole office is already moved there and waiting for me. Very sad situation, but I shouldn't have to be in this situation myself. I am just frustrated with the whole situation."
Thank you very much to Jennifer for sharing that. That's a pretty extreme example I know a lot of people kind of in the aftermath of the crash more immediately, there was a lot of difficulty getting to where you needed to be. But to think that now we are here on December 3rd and that somebody hasn't been able to move like they had planned to do is a pretty big impact to your family. And I imagine probably spiraling pretty far beyond that. Housing, finance, perhaps transportation. I don't know if you have perhaps connections wherever Jennifer may be, but if not, then that can be, I imagine, taking a pretty big toll. Thank you to Jennifer for sharing her comment.
Yeah, and it looks like we have a number of comments about kind of the expense of living here and not having access to this mileage program to get to and from the island and how that'll impact residents here. We got an anonymous email that says, "Without the ability to fly on Alaska's network, use miles, companion fare coupons, Club 49, and other Alaska Air benefits, one, many families will choose to live elsewhere, two, boats will choose to dock up in Kodiak to fly crew in and out of Alaska, and three, the city will continue to lose revenue, and living in Alaska will continue to become even more unaffordable. Alaska is one of the highest cost of living areas in the state of Alaska." So it looks like we're seeing a lot of this type of concern in the community. So once again, if you want to call in to have a discussion with us, to share questions, go ahead and give us a call. What's that number again?
That is 581-2161. That'll get you to us here in the studio. We're also, taking those comments via email, info@kucb.org. And then our Facebook page at KUCB, we have a post up there, and we're taking comments right there below the post. But I want to thank that anonymous emailer and say that that's a really good thing to point out too, especially that, we've alluded to miles already a little bit, but that is one aspect of kind of the Alaska Airlines overall rewards program. It's not just the ability to book tickets on miles, but things like companion fares, Club 49, that there are kind of other benefits that I think a lot of Unalaskans seem to kind of have a strategy for travel. They know, what their baggage allowances are. They know what groceries they can fit into what to get on the plane a lot of the time. And it's not just that mileage option, but some of those other things and companion fares so that you can travel with someone else on a more controlled rate is an important thing to point out. And to their first points that many families will choose to live elsewhere is a pretty serious thing, I think, to be thinking about. And since the crash, there's been a lot of discussion about kind of the big short-term impacts and the things we've been talking about access to work and medical, to family separations. But it also is going to be a long-term discussion about what big impacts this is going to have down the road and what kind of things it points out about the community and its infrastructure. And it's interesting to hear that someone might consider that they wouldn't even want to live in the community if they feel like this might happen again, or if the cost of living just becomes prohibitive. If you are out there in listening land, if you're having these thoughts, if you're wondering about your interest or your ability, maybe financial ability to live in the community because of something like this, that would be a very great perspective to hear. Is that something that your family is discussing about whether or not you'd want to choose to live here long term, kind of as a result of this? If that's the case, please let us know. Again, the number is 581-2161, info@kucb.org for email, and on Facebook. If you're just tuning in, this is KUCB 89.7 FM, and we are having a sort of free-form discussion show where we're taking comments, questions, concerns about flight service, kind of in the aftermath of the plane crash in October, looking to hear how people are affected, how they're expecting to be affected going forward, and what their experience has been since this big accident. And it looks like we have the signal that we have another phone call, so Hope, let's see if we can get them on the air. Hello there, you're on KUCB.
Hey there, how's it going?
Doing well, thank you. Tell us who you are and what you might have to add to this discussion.
Well, my name is Finn, and I teach here at the school part-time, and I've lived here about 4 years. You were asking a little bit about the Raven Miles, right?
Yes.
I don't have experience with them personally just because I've been with Alaska Airlines my whole life. But I do know that I usually spend about $1,200 a year in airfare buying their miles when they have their sale with Alaska Airlines. And that'll get me about 4 round-trip tickets off the island to somewhere in-state. And so if I were to spend that much with Raven, it's just about 1 round-trip ticket just from here to Anchorage. So... not a great deal.
No, a pretty stark comparison.
Yeah. And again, you know, like you said, Delft also doesn't include the bags, which I know when we come out here, we always try and stock up in Costco and bring as much as we can. Also, another impact, I would imagine, would have an impact on the schools. I know it's kind of a challenge to get teachers to come out to, say, rural area dealing with. And just given the nature of where we live with the weather, it's kind of hard to get out during our breaks. So that's a challenge. But then if you add in this additional huge cost of flying with Raven, I don't think it'll make it very appealing to get good teachers in and out of here.
And I think, you know, the teachers have a big role and a lot of appreciation from this community. So that's a really good atmosphere, or good piece of the puzzle to kind of bring up. And I wonder, Finn, you know, what would you hope to see going forward? You know, we have so many questions, so many things. What's kind of the most important thing to you going forward, and what would help you and your family?
Well, I think mainly in getting that mileage program, either if Raven can come up with something that's, you know, pretty identical to what Alaska has, I don't know, but Alaska Airlines is, you know, it's been a company that's founded from Alaska. They have a big history in Alaska, and I know they, you know, they put a lot into the communities out here. So if they could find some sort of creative solution to bring that mileage program back, you know, whatever that might take.
Absolutely. Well, we really appreciate your comments. Is there anything else that you'd want to speak to this very wide-ranging situation?
Just that, you know, I think a lot of the community members here all have really similar concerns, and it affects everyone, and not in a good way. I know my husband here and I moved back last year after being in Juneau for a little while, and we love the town, you know, but we're hoping to have, you know, a couple of kids, and just, you know, it's kind of crazy to think that's, you know, the cost of flying in and out of here is a factor of, you know, yeah, like, how many kids should we have, or can we, you know, can we have our family come out here? Will our grandparents, you know, will the grandparents be able to visit? Those are all real concerns now, whereas with Alaska Airlines and having that mileage program, it made it possible.
And that this is now part of those conversations that you're having, pretty serious conversations about the goals and directions of your family.
Yeah, it affects everything.
Well, we really appreciate you helping us to kind of start wrapping our minds around this big event and what it's going to mean for everybody from here on out. So thank you, Finn, and we really appreciate your comments.
Yeah, thanks for hosting.
Right. Absolutely.
Take care. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much to Finn for kind of touching on a number of kind of the things that we had been discussing already, but teasing them out a little bit further, just continuing to hear about the real importance of the mileage program, Alaska Airlines' mileage program, to the community, and how big of a financial effect that has. And then as well, the baggage, the idea of going to Costco and making sure you know how much you can bring. And then as well, touching again on that idea of how this flight situation does or doesn't make Unalaska a livable place, a feasible place to have, you know, your family, especially if you have a sizable family. Speaking with Frank Kelty, former mayor, some time ago, that was one of his biggest concerns, I know, is to say if you have a family of four or five, you know, it's not going to be necessarily affordable for anyone. But once you start talking about people in bigger numbers, bigger families, it can have a real wide-ranging impact. And I'm seeing perhaps another phone call we have. All right, let's hear. Hi there, you're on KUCB.
Hi, it's Linda Lakanoff.
Hi, Linda.
I just want to comment on Raven's response to the crash, and I don't think it's very good. I have lived here for 40 years, and this is the first time I've ever really seriously thought about not living here. And I've been talking to a lot of people who are really reconsidering whether they can afford to live here. And I'm just really disappointed with Raven's response. And I believe they are price gouging us a little bit. And basically, excuse me, I believe that if they don't bring the mileage program back, that this town is really going to decline. I don't want to say die, but it's going to be a big, serious problem for everyone. So I think we need to get Raven to pony up and at least talk to us. That's all.
Well, thank you, Linda. I appreciate your comments, and we thank you for calling in.
Okay, thanks for having the show. That's great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes, kind of a quick but wide-ranging and kind of deep response there from Linda. We really appreciate her comments. Again, hearing the seriousness, I think, is a big thing that we're getting so far as a 40-year resident to say that this is something that really kind of sheds some new light, again, on the livability of Unalaska. And one thing Linda also mentioned there was perhaps about the response or level of responsiveness from Raven. And I think in the aftermath of the crash, we've been hearing a lot about kind of the responsibilities of these parties. And it's not the most straightforward situation by any stretch. You know, we have a Pen Air plane, which is owned by Raven since the bankruptcy last year. Raven is kind of a big company with a lot of different carriers under it. If you kind of get your ticket from Raven, you'll notice oftentimes that it says Corvus Airlines kind of on the actual boarding pass. That's another one of their kind of carriers. And so they're this kind of complex company in their own right. And then they have this marketing partnership with Alaska Airlines, or they have for some time. And that was inherited kind of from Pen Air in the bankruptcy buyout. And so again, navigating these complex business relationships or trying to understand them as just an average community member, at least, and as a reporter for us is kind of an ongoing issue. But how are the listeners feeling about the level of responsiveness from the different airlines? Are you hearing, are you hearing things from Raven that you're maybe, you know, confused about or frustrated with, but Alaska Airlines is doing better? Is it kind of across the board? I'd be curious to hear how folks are feeling about the level of responsiveness from the different parties involved. There's a lot going on here. And so if you have anything to say kind of on that half of the equation, we'd love to hear it. But looks like we have some more comments coming in. Hope, is there anything we should be looking at?
It looks like we have another anonymous email that just came in that says, Raven has strategically taken advantage of this accident, its decision to suspend the Saab 2000 service indefinitely, to certify their Dash 8s and become a competing airline with themselves, Pen Air and Alaska Airlines. It looks like there's just some general frustration about the loss of the Saab in the community at this point.
And so, of course, I think you know, as we've all been talking about this and thinking about this since the crash, and it's been a while, but just to refresh and reiterate that the Saab 2000 is the Penn Air aircraft that had been flying, I believe, since 2016, and then was the type of aircraft that crashed, the kind of larger 45-seat direct flight, no refueling stop, more cargo capacity compared to these Dash 8s, which this emailer has mentioned, which is what Raven has been flying in the interim. And they are smaller, they are slower, and in the most recent kind of release I have here from Raven, they do say that flights to Unalaska from Anchorage are expected to perform a technical stop for refueling on the way to the island, unless winds and weather permits direct flights, which it sometimes does, but they do expect most return flights to Anchorage to be nonstop. We have different aircraft now that are operating, at least in the interim. We continue to hear, not directly from the airlines, but through their press statements, that they do not have any additional information yet on when they want to resume the Saab 2000 service. Raven's president and I believe CEO Dave Flieger has said that they do intend to do that, that's kind of the final part of their plan to sort of get things back to what they hope is a good setup in the aftermath of the crash, which is to resume that Saab 2000 service on the faster, bigger planes. But that they don't know when they're going to do that. And it's contingent on, it seems to be kind of a safety review of the plane. The National Transportation Safety Board's investigation is still underway. While we have some preliminary results pointing to shifting winds on the day of the crash, as well as not as much pilot experience on the aircraft as some might want, that is preliminary results, and the investigators are doing a full major investigation that is expected to take about a year. And so I'm not sure if that means that the Saab 2000 will be, you know, suspended for a year for this route, or if they're doing safety checks kind of apart from that. And I guess maybe this is a good opportunity to share that, like we had said, we haven't been able to secure an on-the-record interview with the airlines, but we have been sending them questions kind of in the hopes that when we do, we'll be able to kind of tackle a wide range of topics. And so I'll read some of the questions that KUCB has been putting to them that we hope that they're preparing to answer when we do have that. And maybe you'll want to add to them. Maybe you'll want to speak to them, and we can do that. But let's see. One of the kind of blocks of questions we've sent them kind of regarding these aircraft questions is, why suspend the Saab 2000 for safety reasons when the NTSB has said that that's not necessary? What kind of safety checks is Raven performing on the Saabs? What kind of criteria is being used to decide when they do resume the Saab 2000 service? And then we're also curious to know who is conducting those safety checks and who's evaluating those criteria. These are questions that we put to, let's see, this email I sent to them on November 14th, kind of following up from another email in October with kind of refined questions. So those are things that we're putting out to the airline. But I do think, like this emailer said, that this difference in aircraft is part of the equation, is part of the baggage issues, is part of maybe the number of flights even on the schedule.
Yeah, and it looks like we are also having a lot more concern once again with the mileage program and some confusion about Raven's points program that they have introduced to us. We have a question and comment about the special Raven incentive programs for Unalaskans to sign up for. It says, apparently Raven has a special incentive program for Unalaskans that will, quote, help Unalaska residents and other frequent flyers more quickly earn enough points for reward tickets, end quote. But the program excludes people who signed up before November 14th, even though the crash happened in October. The question from the anonymous email says, why are existing Flyaway Rewards members prior to November 14th being excluded from bonus points and other Raven incentives as described in last week's announcement to help local Unalaska residents since the accident happened before November 14th? The specific wording in the announcement says new Flyaway Rewards members who sign up between November 14th and January 31st of next year to establish a new account will also be awarded an additional 20 points. So it looks like this emailer is concerned with not getting those additional points because they signed up before the November 14th date.
That's an interesting point that I don't think I've heard yet from anyone. So thank you to that question comment submitter. And I know that November 14th was the date that regular air service did resume, at least scheduled service with the Dash 8s after that period of kind of charter-only service. And so that's an interesting question that I hadn't heard posed yet. Why, if Raven is trying to offer an incentive to help Unalaskans who, I think like we've been discussing, haven't been able to accrue points with Raven's program because they're used to using Alaska's mileage program, why wouldn't those kind of incentives to sign up and to try to somewhat level the playing field, why wouldn't those be extended to those who signed up before 11/14 when the flights resumed? That is a brand new question that I haven't heard posed, so we're going to add that to KUCB's list of questions for the airlines. And I don't have an answer right now, but I will say thank you so much for bringing up something, especially something that's kind of new to our ears. So thank you so much to that question submitter. Again, we are here on KUCB 89.7 FM taking all sorts of listener and community member questions, comments, sharing experiences about how air service has been happening and kind of unfolding since the crash on October 17th and how you and your family are or are not affected. We're taking calls at 581-2161. We're also taking emails at info@kucb.org, as well as comments on our Facebook page, KUCB. So please keep those coming. We're really happy to be getting so many and to be hearing what's on your mind. So thank you, Unalaska. And I think maybe we have another comment or question?
We do. That seems to be a little bit of a different perspective than we've heard before. It's from Mike on Facebook. He says, I typically do not comment. I think that people are mistaken on the price gouging. It seems everyone is dependent on mileage tickets. I think that is a mistake. If you really look at the cost of flights, especially to Dutch, $600 one way or whatever it is not out of line in my opinion. Think about how much hotels are on each end of the flight. Now take into consideration that the majority of people that come here are here for the job opportunities that are not available elsewhere. If a person is traveling once or twice a year and working here, I can only assume that they should be able to afford to buy tickets. Yes, it's more expensive, but I think that we are all getting too good of a deal that ultimately was not sustainable here. I am a family of four, been here for 15 years. For our one big vacation we do a year, we will go, but we won't be flying to Anchorage just for fun for a while. The airlines will eventually get this worked out. In the meantime, I don't expect a bunch of freebies, and I'm grateful they continue flying.
Well, thank you so much to Mike, especially if you're not a frequent commenter, for joining the discussion today, and especially to hear, a different perspective than what we've been hearing. That, I think, is really valuable to this discussion as we try to parse how everybody is kind of processing this, and there's going to be a lot of differences, I think, and I'm glad to hear one of them. So Mike, it looks like you bring up some interesting points about, is a $600 ticket or thereabouts, maybe that's a fair rate, depending on, the decision or the process maybe of how airlines set their prices. And that is another one, I read just recently from a small excerpt of the questions that we're hoping to get answered from the airlines when we have an interview. And that is one of them, is how do they arrive at pricing? They're flying the Dash 8s to a number of different routes kind of in the state, or they have been. But we represent, a decent distance. There's weather conditions. Our route, I think what we hear, and I don't speak with a ton of expertise here by any stretch, is that our route does have some singular considerations. But to what extent does that mean that our prices are higher? And that is definitely a question I would love to put to the airlines, is how do we arrive at the pricing that they're setting? And is that going to be the case going forward? Is it something that they're working on because this is kind of a brand new situation? Those are all questions that I think are interesting and I hope to answer. So I appreciate your addressing that, Mike. And it's also interesting to think about, the idea of we had been getting a good deal and ultimately that it was not sustainable. It'd be interesting also, I think, to hear maybe from folks who've been in Unalaska a long time and maybe can speak to those days when we had multiple airlines. You know, they talk about, you know, not too long ago, there were four airlines flying to Unalaska at once, and it was a different situation, different types of planes, different types of route setups. And now we've kind of come to a place where we have one airline, and there's not as much competition then. But what does an airline need to kind of justify the business of flying this route? You know, that the community feels like they're getting a fair shake, but that it's also sustainable for a business, or as some community members and city officials have suggested, that they would want maybe more businesses, they would want some more competition. I think that's an interesting question that it sounds like the city is hoping to dig into. They're planning to go to Seattle and talk to Alaska Airlines at their headquarters there. And one of the things that Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson has brought up is how much he wants to talk about what it might take for Alaska Airlines to fly here themselves. You know, right now there's this partnership, or there has been this partnership, but perhaps in the future that will look a little different. And there's interest in at least figuring out whether it's lengthening the runway or taking on some other probably substantial projects to draw some more competition. But the idea that perhaps it's not really price gouging is an interesting one to bring up. And so thank you so much to Mike. And if there are any other non-frequent commenters, people who don't usually jump in, we really were happy to get this one, and we'd love to hear from you too. Leave us a message on Facebook, email us info@kucb.org, or give us a call, 581-2161.
And it looks like we have another comment from someone about the having multiple airlines here. We have an email from Travis. He says, "I'm deeply concerned about the viability of Unalaska's economy moving forward. I am sure it is not easy to come up with solutions quickly to alleviate the current situation, but I am hoping that Alaska Airlines doesn't abandon our community. I want to ask Raven what they are doing to improve their safety record and possibly get back in the good grace of Alaska Airlines, and ask Alaska Air what we can do to put pressure on them to improve their safety standards." He says, "Also, this might sound crazy. Has anyone asked the Seabirds if they are willing to start a new airline to service the community? I can't think of anyone more familiar with the region than them. I would love to see Horizon Airlines come into Alaska to compete against Raven Markets. The native man on the tail of most Alaska Airlines aircraft should be a reminder of the foundation of the company and the small communities in which it served. Please don't forget about us."
Well, thank you so much, Travis. A lot of interesting things that you're bringing up there. And I don't think that's crazy at all. It'd be really interesting to hear from the Seabirt family. Orrin and Danny Seabirt ran Pan Air for, man, I remember interviewing them, and the number doesn't come to me immediately, but that is their longtime family business. And they ran it up until it went into Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And I know from speaking to them and to speaking to the bankruptcy trustees kind of back when that story was first unfolding, was that they wanted to restructure their company and see if they could use it not as a Chapter 13 going out of business bankruptcy, but a restructuring Chapter 11 bankruptcy to see if they could get out of some of the debt that they had taken on and get back to square one. And that it was ruled in the bankruptcy courts that they were going to instead sell the business to a new owner. And of course, that was Raven Air. But the Seabirds had that interest at that time in keeping their business. And I don't know if going forward, if perhaps that's something they would consider. But they've always sort of been open to talking to us, at least, you know, about the basics of what's going on. They are business folks who don't always give away their full plans and you know, are processing that information when we talk to them. But I would happily put that question to them and see what they think that might look like. I wonder what that would entail. But that is a very interesting question. And but to the kind of first paragraph of your email there, Travis, I want to ask Raven what they are doing to improve their safety record and possibly get back in the good grace of Alaska Airlines, and ask Alaska what we can do to put pressure on them to improve their safety standards. That's very, very interesting. And I think definitely a question that we in KUCB's newsroom really have. And I think what maybe gets at the heart of a lot of the things that we're talking about is kind of what is the current status of the relationship between Raven and Alaska Airlines. You know, they've said in some statements and things like that, that their partnership is strong and that they're committed to it. But then we do see the situation right now where all of Alaska's reservations are being transferred to Raven, where Alaska is not taking reservations, and Unalaska Dutch Harbor has been removed as a destination on their website, and where they clearly did not come to an agreement about, you know, having a mileage program, you know, in this interim period. And so it's an interesting question to pose, and I hope to pose it. Where do these two airlines stand with each other right now? What do they hope to work out going forward if the partnership is to continue, and what that will mean for the community? And you have to sort of expect that safety and safety standards is a part of this discussion, as it was a plane crash. I'm sure it's a business decision, but it's also probably a safety decision in this discussion. So we hear you there, Travis, and we appreciate all of your comments. And we're adding those to our list of questions, just as we are with all of the questions we've been receiving. So again, we'll put out the plug that we're here live in the KUCB studio at the Burma Road Chapel. We took a break from our standard noon newscast today to instead have this kind of open forum, taking calls, taking comments. How are you feeling about airline service? How do you think we move forward? What are the questions, concerns that are on your mind right now since we've had this plane crash? It looks like maybe this is a good time to take a short break. We'll have a swig of water. We'll reshuffle our notes, and then we'll be back for another little segment of the show. So if you haven't commented yet, or if you've thought of something new, there's a lot to this. So we'll happily take your questions and comments when we return in a minute. Again, this is KUCB 89.7 FM.